We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
I've been talking for the last 2 weeks on the series, God's Most Wanted List. We started with Nehemiah, and last week we spoke about the man on the run, Jacob. And this morning, I'm going to speak on a character that you probably have not had much preaching about her. So today we're talking on part three, which is God's most wanted list, the unexpected. When God is searching for people to use, or when he's searching for people to include in his most wanted list, expect the unexpected, because God specializes in the unexpected. Time after time, God showed his people that he doesn't think the way they think, neither does he work the way they work. He's speaking through Isaiah. God says in Isaiah 55, he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways, your ways are not my ways, declares the Lord. For as high as the heaven is from the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways." Today we want to talk about one of the judges who ruled the nation of Israel during the times of judges, between the time that Joshua died and the time when God gave them a king to rule over them. This story today is a powerful illustration of how God does the unexpected through unexpected people in unexpected ways at an unexpected time. At a time when women had few rights, an unusual and exceptional woman surprises everyone, because the rulers, the warriors, and the decision makers of the day were all male. And yet this woman became a judge of Israel. At that time, women were unable to rise, but she did. She actually held court, and Israelites from all over the country came over to hear her adjudicate over their cases and give judgment and settle their disputes. This woman was not only a judge, the Bible says she was also a prophetess. Most of the other judges before her and after her were warriors and male. And when God spoke to them, he would normally come across to them through an angel. But not for this woman. When God wanted to speak to this woman, he spoke to her directly, and that was uncommon. And yet God still wanted to use this woman. So today we're reading from the book of Judges, chapter 4. We want to meet this exceptional woman from the book of Judges, chapter 4. And I'm reading from verse 4 through to 10. Now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinom, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead them up to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River, and give him into your hands. Barak said to her, if you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. Certainly I will go with you, said Deborah. But because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours. For the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman. So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. There Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali, and 10,000 men went under his command. Deborah also went up with him. This is the story. This is the reading of God's word. What is God teaching us through this courageous woman called Deborah? The first thing we learn from this story, or particularly from this courageous woman, is the lesson that God chooses people that we don't expect. We are told that the Canaanites were in charge. There was a king. King Jabin was in charge and the Israelites were under his command, were under his control. We do understand that no one was willing to challenge the Canaanites. They were a very strong oppressor. And the Israelites noticed that they were under his control for almost 20 years by this time. And he was known for being a cruel king, King Jabin. Everyone was afraid of him. What they did not expect, however, was for a woman to say yes to God. And say yes not only to God, but actually yes to Israel going to battle with a very powerful enemy. She had God's word, and she wanted to declare it and follow it through. No one in Israel had ever seen such a thing where a woman could rise and declare that God is calling us to go to battle. Deborah was willing to stand out when others didn't expect her to do it. I would like to think that she herself surprised herself when she realized that God had chosen her of all the people of the land at that time to be the main person to declare victory over the people of Israel. God raised her because God can and does use people that others might discount or dismiss. You could be one of those people that you've been dismissed in your family. You could have been discounted by your friends. But God does the unexpected. He can pick on you, lift you up, and use you for his glory. That's the God we serve. So you already probably are in God's most wanted list. You just don't know. But God will surprise you. God will do the unexpected. I'm reminded of people like Gideon, who was a coward, and yet God fished him out from a wine press and lifted him up to be a commander of his people. I'm reminded of people like Rahab, the prostitute, stuck in the city of Jericho, which was locked up. And when God pulled down that city, he pulled out Rahab and used her as an ancestor of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many others that God used that people did not expect God to use. And you could be on that list too. God is looking for you. God is waiting to surprise you and many others that have discounted you. He's ready to give you a chance to make a difference from where you are. God wants to surprise the world through you. There's a second lesson we can learn from this story of Deborah. And the second lesson is this, that God has an unexpected message for you to deliver. After the Israelites experienced 20 years of oppression, their expectations of themselves were very low. They were dejected. They had been oppressed for too long because they were caught up in this cycle of sin, a chronic cycle of sin where they would sin, repent, and be delivered, and then start again. So they've been going round and round this cycle of sin, repentance, and deliverance. This has been going on for quite a long time, and by this time, the Canaanites who ruled over them were well-armed. They were well-equipped. The Bible says King Jabin had 900 iron chariots. This is the equivalent of tanks today. Against a poorly trained foot army, foot soldiers that they had, the Israelites. It was no comparison at all. At that time, the iron chariots were the most advanced military technology available. And that guaranteed dominion over those that you were under your oppression. If you had this equipment, you were a ruler. And the Israelites, they had nothing really to stand against this powerful army. They could not prevail against the Canaanites. And it is in this context that Deborah receives a message from God that he wanted to pass on to Barak. And this message was unusual because this message was ignoring whatever the Canaanites had in store and cutting across all that facade and declaring that there is victory in God. And God was very specific in this message. He said, I will use Barak and I will use a specific location to deliver this victory. And he spelled it out for them through Deborah, who then shared this word to the military commander of the day, Barak. We read earlier that the people of Israel came to Deborah to hear her adjudicate over their cases. They respected her. Her voice was known. Her wisdom was known for settling their disputes. But there was a different matter this time when she came with the word of the Lord that seemed to go against the grain, to go against the message of the day. When she spoke on God's behalf and delivered a message that God wanted them to go to battle and that God will give them victory against their powerful enemies. She did not let her doubt or their fear stop her from stepping up the plate and declaring the word of God. She wanted God's word fulfilled, God's will to be done, and therefore she stood up and spoke what God expected of the nation of Israel. Even though they thought low of themselves, God still thought highly of them, and therefore he gave them a promise, and that promise was a promise of victory. You see, you cannot be a follower of Jesus Christ and do what he asks only when you feel like doing it, or when it's safe to do it, or when it's convenient to do it. That's not what God is calling you to. Serving God is not always safe. When you choose to follow Jesus Christ, you will speak out for him even when it's not safe. And while you are doing that, God will still give you the strength to deliver the message he has given you. That's how God does things. There is always no security that when you speak the word of God, you'll be safe. But your security is in God, knowing that the word he gave you will come to pass and God will watch over it to ensure that it's fulfilled. God's promises are as solid as a bedrock. You have got everything to lay your life on it, that God will deliver his word. We don't need to doubt God's word. Whatever God has spoken to you, whatever message has been delivered to you, I can assure you that God watches over his word to perform it. Or maybe God has given you a word to share. You need to deliver that word and let God take care of the results. You cannot control God's word. Neither can you keep it within you. Jeremiah tried to keep the word of God within him. And he writes, he says, it's like fire in my bones. So that word has got to come out. That word cannot stay inside if it's coming from the presence of God. So this is what Deborah did. She calls Barak. He says, I've got a word for you. And she gives him the word that he did not expect. The nation of Israel did not expect that word. And in most cases, when God speaks to us, we don't expect the word of God to come that way. In fact, we even distrust the vessel that God is using to speak into our lives. But this morning, I want to point you to Jesus Christ. I want to point you to God, that God, when he brings a word into your life, is guaranteed, according to heaven, that that word will be fulfilled. Because the word says, God will not send a word and then it goes back to him void. It has to accomplish that which he has sent it to do, and then it will be accomplished and then get back to him. That's how God deals with his word. So whatever word you have received from God this morning, I activate it in Jesus' name. I pray that the word of God will be like fire inside your bones, and that that word will not fail on your watch, that that word of God will not be stagnant inside of you because you are refusing to let it go, in the name of Jesus. There is a third lesson we can learn from this lady, Deborah. And it's this. God intervenes in an unexpected way when you trust him. Verse 9 of chapter 4 in the book of Judges. Deborah has just given Barak the word of God. And this is how he responds. He says, if you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. Certainly, I will go with you, said Deborah. So, Barak is given the word of God. Deborah shares this powerful message from God to the commander of this makeshift Israelite army. Obviously, God had different expectations for them. And with his help, God knew that he would give them the victory. And what was the response of Barak? The Bible says, he gives a condition. He says, if you go with me, I will go. But if you don't, I'm not going anywhere. Now, this is a commander of God's army. And Barak basically refuses to go on God's mission. He had God with him. He had the promises of God with him. And yet, he refuses to stand up there and be counted in God's army. It's a sad moment when we refuse to partner with God in his mission. It's a sad day when we refuse to trust God enough to go out there and let him use us to accomplish victory in our lives. I'm sure Deborah was surprised at that response. How can he refuse the promises of God? And what does he say? He says, "Oh, well, unless you go with me, I'm not going for battle." So here is a man who gives God conditions when God gives him a promise. You know, sometimes we hear the voice of God and we say to God, "Oh, God, I will start getting serious with you when I pass my degree." Or sometimes we say to God, "Oh, God, I will be committed to the house of God when I get married. Until then, my Lord, please give me a husband. Please give me a wife." Sometimes we say to God, "Oh, God, I will start tithing when you give me a new job that pays me more." A Barak attitude that wants to give God conditions. Because we don't trust God. We have got questions about God's word. We question God's word. And yet this word comes from the very creator of heavens and earth. And Barak has got his doubts. He's got his moments. He didn't have enough faith. We don't know why he was refusing. Could it be that maybe he believed he could not win without Deborah's presence in the battlefield? Obviously, the question then is, whose word, whose presence is more important? Your pastor's presence or God's presence? Your friend's presence or God's presence? Barak had an issue there. Or could it be that Barak, the commander of the Lord's army, was scared and was leaning heavily on the arm of the flesh, which came through Deborah? Maybe he did not have enough faith and trust in God. Could it be that you are in a place where you are hearing God's promise, you are hearing God's message, but you are questioning God's word? We don't know, but what we do know is that he threatened to chicken out if Deborah was not going to go to the battleground with him. Here is a man who makes the messenger responsible for delivering the word of God. In fact, it's as though he was saying to Deborah, "You've got to come with me and see the word of God being fulfilled before your eyes because you said it." Is that what God was saying? No. God was very specific in this message that it's you, Barak. I want you to go out there. I've given you the army. I've given you the arm of the Canaanites. It's you I want to use. The way you are. I know that you're not equipped. I know you cannot take comparison to the Canaanite army, but it's you I choose to use. The way you are. And Barak says, "Mm-mm. It's not good enough." What was the problem with Barak? It's because he had boxed God. And every time you box God, you shut out the unexpected from unraveling in your life. But our God is a specialist in doing the unexpected. So I want to ask you this morning, which side are you on? Are you on the side that boxes God and makes God predictable? Or you are one of those that says, whatever God does, whatever God says, by faith, I will step out and trust him. If I perish, I perish. Which side are you on? Now, there was a strategy here involved. There was a strategy. God gave a prophetic word to take them out of bondage, to take them out of oppression. But he also came with a strategy. And in this case, the strategy had to do with, he had said to them, God has said, I will take the army into a valley, River Kidron. I'll take them into a valley. And when they get into the valley, I will give you victory. I'll tell you why he took them to a valley, because this valley was very close to a river. It was very close to the river, Kishon River. And so what God did is, there was a flash flood that day. And those 900 chariots, iron chariots, were in that valley. Then all of a sudden, the valley became waterlogged. And the 900 chariots became useless because they were now locked into this muddy surface and they couldn't be of any advantage at all to the enemy of Israel. And God gave them victory through a simple thing, a flash flood, that changed the stakes for the children of Israel because those chariots became useless. The chariots that were an advantage to the enemy all of a sudden became a liability. Now, the great irony in this story is that the Canaanites worshipped a god called Baal. Baal was a god who was known for controlling the storms and the weather patterns. And on that day, Baal was powerless to control the floods that came and flooded the Kishon River and the whole valley. Baal could do nothing about that because there was a higher power involved. These Israelites were not fighting alone. The battle was fought at another level. And God was fighting for his people in a very powerful way. Scripture is littered with stories of unusual and unexpected ways in which God fought for his people. We know that God used earthquakes before. We know that God used plagues before. We know that God even used angels to go and kill people in the enemy's camp. We know that God turned water into blood to confuse the enemy. God has used tumors before. There are many things that God has used, and in this case, God used water. But however, in Judges chapter 5, verse 20, we are introduced to a different weapon of war that God used in this battle. And I'm going to read from verse 20 in Judges chapter 5. From verse 20, it says, they fought from the heavens. The stars from their courses fought against Sisera. Sisera was the commander of the Canaanite army. 21 says, the torrent of Kishon swept them away. The ancient torrent, the torrent of Kishon, O my soul, march on in strength. Further down in verse 23, it talks about angels cursing the enemy. These were divine entities involved in this battle. This battle was not about flesh and blood. It wasn't about iron chariots and a poorly armed army. It was a divine battle which involved angels. It involved stars. The Bible says it was the stars that were fighting for the people of Israel. How do stars fight? That's a supernatural phenomenon that was breaking out in what, to the eyes, to the naked eye, it looked as though it was the Canaanites versus the children of Israel. But whenever there are battles of God involved, there is divine intervention, and God will ensure that his promises come to pass. It's the same in your life. Even though the Canaanites had their god Baal, that day Baal could not rise to the occasion. They had a military strength, but that day their military strength became useless. They had even a commander who was known to be powerful. The Bible tells us that that commander actually ran away on foot. He abandoned the chariots. He abandoned his army, only to be killed by yet another brave woman. I don't know where you are at with God this morning. But the Bible says, this is not your battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. The Bible, is it not in the Bible where it says, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord? Is it not in the Bible that says, the Egyptians you see today, you shall see them no more? Is it not in the Bible that says, I will train my hands for war? He trains my hands for war. He teaches me to scale over a hole. Is that not the Lord speaking to us today? That victory belongs to the Lord. That the horse is made ready for battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. There is a supernatural intervention because God will produce an unexpected victory in your life. God specializes in the unexpected. So God picks up a woman. He raises her to a level where she's a judge. At a time when women had few rights. But God felt it the right thing to do to lift a woman and use her to bring victory to Israel. They didn't expect that, but God wanted it to come to pass. The victory was a big surprise to the rest of the world. And God wants to surprise the world through you today. The account of God's interaction, I want to just close with this. Throughout the Bible, story after story, we meet God using man in unexpected ways. A number of people in Scripture were surprised by God. Abraham was surprised when God said to him, "You'll be a father of nations," and yet he had no child. Joseph's brothers were surprised when the boy that they had sold to slavery in Egypt became prime minister. Moses was surprised when God showed up and was looking for him in Mount Sinai, a stuttering guy, a stuttering murderer, and yet God used him to deliver the children of Israel from the bondage of Pharaoh. David surprised everyone when God raised him to kill Goliath. And everybody was so surprised that such a little boy could kill such a giant, because God is in the business of doing the unexpected. Naaman was surprised when he was told by a prophet to go and bathe in a dirty river, the River Jordan, 7 times. And when he came out of that river, the Bible says he was healed and his skin was like that of a baby. Maybe today you need healing. Maybe God wants to heal you in an unexpected way. Could it be that as you hear the word of God today and believe in your heart that this is your word and believe that God is able to heal you today, that God will release power from Mount Zion and heal you? Could it be that today as you look at yourself and look down upon yourself and say, I can't do this, I can't do that because I'm poor, because I'm a woman, because I'm only a child? Could it be that the voice of God is lifting you up today and saying, believe in the word of God. I will use you and surprise you and even surprise those that are around you. Could it be that maybe you've been written off by your parents? You could have been written off by your colleagues at work. You could have been written off by your friends, by your family. But God is saying, hey, I've called you today. I've got a message for you today. And I want to use you at an unexpected time, in an unexpected way, to accomplish unexpected results. Could it be that you are on that list today, the most wanted list? And this list is made up of men and women who don't know that God is into business with their lives. That God wants to surprise the world through you. I believe on that day, Deborah had been dismissed by most people because she was a woman. I believe there were people that day that says that wanted to limit Deborah that day because she was a woman, or because they thought there is no way a woman can lead us in battle. But I want to say to you today that you can remove those limitations, because we serve a God who is limitless in his power, limitless in his resources, limitless in his anointing to lift you up. God wants you to seize the opportunities today. God wants to use you in the unexpected. My prayer today is that your response to God's voice will not be like that of Barak, a voice of doubt, a response of questioning God, a response of lack of faith, a response that doubts the power of God. I pray that your response will be that of Deborah, that Deborah stood up and spoke the word of God and believed that God, the same God who spoke to her the word, will come up and stand for her, even if it meant causing a flood in that Kishon River Valley, in order to give his children victory. Just imagine what God might accomplish through men and women who are ready to be surprised by God. Just imagine what victories we can have when men and women stand up and say, God, may you use me for the unexpected mission. Imagine what could happen when we take God's hand and receive his help. Imagine how many doors will be open in your life. Imagine how many gates will be open in your life. Imagine how many levels you're going to climb into as you trust God to take you from one level to the next by God's power. There's so much potential, saints. And I'm praying that today you will open your hearts and say, God, use me. And say, God, I'm here. Would you use me? Would you use me for the unexpected? Because you specialize in the unexpected. So I'm going to pray in closing. And I pray that you will join me in this prayer. As you avail yourself from whatever you are, that you will avail yourself this morning and say, God, I want to be on that most wanted list. I want to be used in an unexpected way. Yes, I may be sick this morning. Yes, I may be confused this morning. Yes, I may not even have enough faith. But I come up to you and say, God, would you use me? God, only you are my hope. I want to pray. Let's pray. Oh, mighty God of Israel, I pray for those that are lifting up their hearts from wherever they are this morning, that, Lord, you may teach us always to have courage to break new ground for you. In the name of Jesus, that you may grant us the wisdom of God, that you may make us bold for the purposes of your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, that, Lord, you may give us the confidence to stand up and speak the word of God. Deliver the word of God in the name of Jesus. Lord, as we come to you today, we are believing for unexpected victory in our lives. Unexpected victory in the battles we've been involved with. Father, there are battles today among your people. Battles that have been fought year after year, months after months. But today, I pray that those iron chariots will be stuck in the mud and that your children will declare victory over their lives because of God's help. In the name of Jesus, those situations, my Lord, that have frightened your children, those situations, my God, that have given your children no chance even to think about victory, I want to pray today and invite divine intervention in those impossible situations, that God, you'll make a way where there seems to be no way. For my God, you don't send your word, and your word, my Lord, cannot come back to you empty and void. But that God, your word, will you watch over it to accomplish that which you've sent it to do. In Jesus' name, let it be so over your church. We give you glory and we give you praise. And God's people said, Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.